We're talking about Vision Sunday. You know, I think that Vision Sundays can be funny things in many ways. And a sense of expectation, sense of something fresh, sense of something new. You know, is it a discharge of direction that comes? Is it a declaration of developments? Is there discerning the divine of all that we're action and involved in and going to be involved in? But before you go to sleep, to say that vision starts with the Lord. It starts with the Lord. You know, and if we see Jesus, then everything will begin to fall into place. So as we begin to look at some of the things that we would like to do, that we are becoming as church, I need to ask you, when was the last time that you saw Jesus? Because if you can see Jesus, if you meet with Jesus, then vision will come and vision will flow and it will be okay. But if you remember nothing else that I am going to say this week, well, for however long, you know, get with Jesus. Carve out some time to be with Jesus, to seek his face, to hear his voice, to receive his love, to worship him. Vision days are moments of revelation. They're also moments of response, because it's not just an impartation of an idea or of a thought that's from heaven and into people's lives, but actually it demands a response. Response from me as a leader, response from the leadership of the church, and response from everybody that's actually part of the fellowship here. And if that revelation can be rooted in our hearts and in our lives, then what the response is actually it's a radical response, because it causes us to live for Jesus. And who knows that living for Jesus is radical in this day and age? In a world that doesn't want to know about Jesus, in a world that doesn't care about Jesus, in a world that is actually antagonistic about Jesus, to be living for Jesus is radical. And God looks for a radical response. Last year, we began to set a course. We began a journey that was beginning to define our assignment and our mission as Edinburgh Elam, believing that we're called to bring the kingdom of God to the city and beyond. And in order to do that, we made some statements about who we are, about who we're becoming, and what we will be about. And just to remind you, they're coming up on the screen behind me, that we will creatively communicate the good news of Jesus to the city and beyond. That we will be passionate in praise and pursuing the Father's presence. That we will encourage each other to use and develop their talents for the glory of God. That we would want to develop all-age, whole-life disciples who model a biblical lifestyle and who fulfill the Great Commission. That we would honor and welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our individual and in our corporate lives. That we would provide a warm and welcoming environment that will encourage fellowship and worship for all. And if you like, that defines the parameters of who we are and of what we're about. Like an artist who would start with a blank canvas and begin to put in some of the borders and then would begin to fill in some of the details. Or if you're slightly more wired, because I'm not very artistic when it comes to things like that, if you're doing a jigsaw, you start with the flat bits around the outside, don't you, that define the boundary and the border of it, and then you begin to fill in. And this is our parameters. This is who we are. This is what we're about as Edinburgh Elam Church. And anything that we do and anything that we say over, well, till God tells me otherwise and makes it very clear to me otherwise, will be within those parameters and within those borders, that we want to bring the kingdom of God to the city and beyond. Believe that's who we're called to be. In order to do that, last year and it was the picture that I had in my mind as I was aware that I was going to be coming over to become the senior leader and the pastor of this church. And it was a picture of a dormant volcano beginning to erupt and beginning to explode. And the phrase that was in my head was, it was time for the rock to become a volcano. Obviously, knowing Edinburgh's history, And we said last year that when that happens, it affects the air, the atmosphere, the accessibility, and the agriculture. It affects what we breathe in and who we are, our spirituality, as the Lord begins to erupt with His kingdom within us and also through us. It affects what we are, what we're taking in. It affects the atmosphere that's around about us. Where we don't, as Christians, we don't just take the temperature, but we begin to dictate what the spiritual temperature is in situations and in rooms that we go, the atmosphere that we're in. You know, you can go into some parties, can't you? Or into some workplaces, and you can discern an atmosphere. It's either a good atmosphere or it's a not so good atmosphere. And the atmosphere of heaven that we carry around with us. We said that it would affect the accessibility of the ease in which people can come to the Lord. Because when a volcano erupts, then things change. New roadways have to be laid. And again today, that thing of what Jerry was sharing about the mold being broken, about new ways, finding new ways for people to receive and to hear how good God is. And it'll affect the agriculture. See, when God begins to explode with His kingdom in our lives, that our lives become fertile. They become fruitful places. And we know that the hillside of a volcano is a dangerous place, but it's also one of the most fertile places in the world. And we are called to bear fruit as believers. Did you know that?
Yep.
Good fruit, and fruit that will last. So it's time for the rock to become a volcano. We want to see. And the scripture that we believe in, and I believe in is over this church, is that we would see His kingdom come, His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And when what we're going to talk about today and into next week and hopefully over this next year or so is that we would begin to see that on earth as it is in heaven in a greater extent. See, I believe this is our ultimate inheritance. I believe that we're being invited by the Lord to claim our inheritance that's ours in Christ Jesus. There's a program in BBC One that's on during the day that's called Air Hunters. Now, not AIR Hunters, because that'd be people that were going about with nets, just kind of, you know, capturing air and bottling it. Although we could sell that. But this is Air Hunters, H-E-I-R. Now, I do also need to throw in a disclaimer that says your pastor's not sitting watching daytime telly. Talking about in the occasions where there's a public holiday, or and the occasions when I'm off. Yeah. Elders will be like, we want timesheets. But it's called Air Hunters. Anybody seen it? No, says it. We're too hard working to be watching the kind of thing like that. And it's where there are people who search on behalf of other folks for long-lost relatives of somebody who's died and of somebody who's left an inheritance that hasn't yet been claimed and who is in danger of it being forfeited, being handed over to the state, and therefore lost. And there are organizations and businesses of people who set themselves up to be able to find that inheritance and to match it with somebody who doesn't know that they've got an inheritance and finding that they do have an inheritance. I believe that the word of the Lord that's over our church for this year is that we would claim our inheritance. Claim your inheritance. See, what happens is somebody dies. And when they die, they have left something with instructions as to what's to happen to it and who's to receive it and who's to get it. So some of you this morning may be saying, well, who's died? Well, I'm thinking of two deaths, Jesus and yours. Now, before you think he's going all morbid on us, anything that we can receive and have from heaven comes through the death and through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amen and praise the Lord, Pastor, moment. Slam dunk, yeah, thanks, Jeff. Jesus died. He died for you, but he rose again. And as he rose again, he opened up all the possibility of receiving our full inheritance in Christ and in heaven. And you know what? You died. You died the moment that you came to faith. You died the moment that you choose and picking up the words of Jesus. He said, if any man would come after me, he needs to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, it is no longer I who live, but it is... Oh, say it with passion and conviction, church. It is...
Christ.
It is Christ living in me. So you're dead, but you're alive in Christ. Yeah, check your pulse. You're alive in Christ. So through the resurrection and through our new creation status as sons and daughters who have been adopted into the family of God, we have an inheritance that incorporates who we are, who we are becoming, and who we will be. Now, some of you who are maybe Bible switched on can be saying, hold on a minute, Gordon, how can we have an inheritance down here when, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't store up for yourself treasure here on earth where moth can destroy and rust, or moth and rust can destroy, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So how can we have an inheritance here? And that's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 where it says that. But if you look at the passage, if you look at the flow, just so you know that pastor's not being a heretic this morning. In the flow of Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7, that Jesus is talking about heart attitudes. In fact, Jesus is talking and addressing heart attitudes, in particular the priority that people put on the stuff of life. Talk about how you pray, he's talking about fasting, talking about treasures in heaven, talking about not worrying, no, talking about not judging others, talking about asking, seeking, knocking. Jesus' goal for his disciples was to pray into reality the Father's kingdom that is future, but it is also present. To pray the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven. Has that arrived yet in its fullest sense? No. Sorry, I'm not trying to catch you out. Has that arrived yet? Has the fullness of his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Has that arrived yet? No, because this world is in a terrible mess. This world is dark. Sin abounds. But yet the grace of God is present. The kingdom of God is in your life. It is in our life. It is through our activity. It's through our ministry. It's who we are. It's who we are becoming. We've got an inheritance. You know, that those famous verses in Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Have we experienced the fullness of God's plans yet, church? No. So there is space and there is room for us to claim our inheritance in the here and now. The general superintendent of Elam when I was a minister in training, and I may have mentioned this before, his name was Wynne Lewis, and he spoke to his ministers in training, and he said that he would live with a recurring, it wasn't a nightmare, but it was a bad dream that he would have, where he would get to heaven, and Jesus would take the edge of a paper, and he would hand it to him. And he'd say, well, Lord, what's this? And Jesus would say, here's all the plans I've got for you, for your life. But here's what you actually achieved. And he was the guy who was pastoring and leading Elam's biggest church, you know, and the general superintendent. I'll keep a hold of that. I want to ask, in our inheritance in God, where are we at? Are we closer to this, or are we closer to this and what we're experiencing? I would reckon, if we're being honest, we're probably closer to this one rather than we are this one. Because we're not in revival yet. Our city isn't in revival yet. Our nation isn't in revival yet. There are hot spots around the world, but the world is not in revival yet. So we've got an inheritance that's ours in Jesus. It's on earth as it is in heaven. And this kingdom inheritance, I believe, for us as churches and us as individuals is threefold. I lifted up four fingers there. It's threefold. It's internal, it's external, and it is also eternal. What do I mean by that? It's internal. It's our gifting, it's our character, it's our relationship with Him. It's who we are when nobody is watching. You know, the Lord who knows every single thing about us, still loves us. He knows the things He wants to change about us because we're being changed from glory into glory. Why? Because we haven't arrived and we've got a future inheritance that's in Him for us in this place. But God working and changing our character so that the fruit of the Spirit is being seen. God working and bringing out and birthing His gifting in our lives. That's what we do. It's who we are. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's the DNA of how He has wired us to serve Him and to honor Him. It's our relationship with Him. That isn't just about our public worship, it is about who we are when we're face down and there's no one else watching. Our inheritance in God is eternal because God wants to meet us, God wants to know us, and for us to know Him in the middle of it all. It is external. Because if it's just in the internal, us having glory times with God, then do you know what? We just get spiritually fat. And that's not how God wants us to be. We receive so that we can give. God fills us with His plans because there is a hurting world that needs to receive and needs to know. That's why the Great Commission is the great goal. Go into all the world. So our external becomes our serving, our reaching, our ministering. All the activities that we might be involved in that's public and that isn't just works, you know, because it needs to be married, works, and faith. But all of these build into the eternal because heaven is our home. The Bible does speak about is receiving rewards in heaven when we come and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It says that we will cast our crowns down before Him that speak of the rewards that we receive in heaven. It is the reality of forever, that eternal life doesn't start when we die, but starts the moment that we come to faith and just increases in our life. In order to experience that, there are some things that we need to do, some things that we must become. But I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. I wonder, worship team, would you come back? Lead us in perhaps just two songs of worship. And now we're going to take up our offering. And then before we move on, we're going to pray and pray for some things. Believe in this year, Lord, that for us, church, that He wants us to claim our inheritance. Claim your inheritance that's in Him, which ultimately is all about His kingdom plan for your life, for this place, for our fellowship. Let's stand. The stewards will wait on you for your... Since we think about the kingdom of God, and there is always this tension and when it talk about the kingdom of God between that which is now and that which is yet to come, and when that which is eternal is invading that which is fleshly, and those that are sinners saved by grace. And if we are going to claim our inheritance, then do you know what? We need to stake our claim. And on our visual zip banners that we've had for the last year, and they're still lasting well, praise God. We've got this bringing the kingdom of God to city and beyond, but also we've got this fence post that's there. And I don't know if you can notice that the metal plate that's on the fence post. Some of you maybe sat times of moments of boredom during the sermons and things like that and thought, wonder what that's for. Confession's good for the soul. Bad for your pastor, but good for your soul. So that's okay. Well, the boundary post has got a plate on it, and that plate would be where a notice of a claim and of the inheritance and whose land it was would be pinned so that anybody going there would know whose territory it was. And as we claim our inheritance in God, then we need to stake our claim. We need to be very clear and unashamed of saying, this is our inheritance in God. I am reminded regularly, and when I'm thinking about this place, thinking about mission, thinking about the assignment that the Lord has given us, of the thing that Paul Davey, the director of Alpha Scotland, said when he stood here and when he preached, he said, who said holy corner? Why not a holy area? Why not a holy area? And talking about our inheritance. Now, if we're going to fully claim our inheritance, then we need to know a couple of things. We need to be aware of identity, and we also need to be aware of influence. Our identity is who we are in Christ. And our influence is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's infiltrating and influencing other people around about you. But in order to do that, in order to be effective, in order to truly bring the kingdom of God to the city and beyond, and to claim our inheritance, then we have the challenge of community. The challenge of being community, the challenge of living in community. And here's how my thinking has gone. By virtue of the fact that we are believers together, we're part of the family of God and going to spend forever with each other. Now there's a thought, eh? Look at those. Yes, look at those in the room. Yeah, you're going to spend eternity with them. So it's kind of good for us to begin to get to know each other. Good for us to continue to get on with each other and to love each other, because eternity is an awful long time. And we have found our joining point, our together point, is the fact that we are in the family of God. We are part of the covenant community of God. So if we're thinking community and the challenge of community, we've got the challenge of living together as the covenant community of God. Growing together, being changed together. Oh, God allowing those people that are sitting around about you to rub off some of those rough edges, to bless you and grow you in grace as well as in strength. We've got the covenant community, but also believing that God didn't just throw us into holy corner, but he's got a definite mission and assignment for us to be here, that we have got the local community. You know, we parachuted into holy corner. You guys parachuted into holy corner. I wasn't there yet. And believing as leaders that it was right in God, that this was the building, that this was a place where the church should begin to put down some roots. Why? Not just so that you've got a nice building to get together and to meet with God and have good services, but so that you could impact this community with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's another amen, pastor, moment. Amen. Too late. We've got the challenge of local community. But you'll notice that the two circles intermix. And that's actually what I'm going to call the crossover community, where the ministries and the activities of the church and all that's going on in the community begin to overlap. When people in the community begin to hear and begin to find out about what God's doing, you know, out of nosiness or inquisitiveness, to be honest, I'm not bothered which, they begin to come in. Invitation to come into to church and begin to meet with us, find out how great we are. Yeah, okay. And if you like, you could call this the itch zone. The itch zone, why? Because we want to scratch where it's itching in their local community. But as much you could also call it the inheritance zone. Because that's where our inheritance, the reason that God has planted us to be here, is. And it also works on two levels. It's not just the community, but it is also your community. Because we are a scattered congregation. We have folks that come from as far up north as Auchtermuchty and Kinross, down the other side of the Forth Road Bridge, and in, you know, Kirkliston and Larbert, and down towards Portobello, I know, and Trenent. And I'm going to miss somebody out here. Folks who come to us from Law, Motherwell, you know, Pennycook, and places like that. There's folks who come, and you know, so we come from all over. We gather from all over. And each and every one of us have got opportunities to influence in our family, in our streets, in our work, in the social aspects of things that we're involved in, but also here in this place that we need to be impacting. And there should be a change year on year, that there should be this growth, if you like, where the covenant community or the crossover zone is growing year by year as our influence in the local community changes. As people in the local community are increasingly attracted to the presence of Jesus through the covenant community and through our involvement, through the things that we do, through who we are, through the events and the opportunities that are there, the invitations that come, supporting people in crises and just blessing them, being Jesus to them where they're at. Because Morningside is our inheritance in Jesus, church. Thanks, Samuel. Morningside is our inheritance in Jesus. We need to hear that. We need to begin to receive that. We need to begin to pray that into being. This city is our inheritance in Jesus. Because our mission, our assignment is to bring the kingdom of God to the city and beyond. This nation is our assignment in Jesus. This world is our assignment in Jesus. It's our inheritance in Jesus. Let me just throw at you just a couple of quick illustrations to maybe help us ground this just a little bit. Under three headings of the challenge, the cost, and the commitment. There's a shop that's not too far from here. So I won't name, just in case they want to sue me or anything like that. But there's a shop that's not too far from here that over the last couple of months that I have seen that shop go empty. You know, and they kind of misted out stuff on the glass. And then a notice saying that a new shop is going to open. The activities of going on as joiners and shop fitters and getting ready and then filling it with lots of good and produce. And I've got to say, it looks great. But every time I go past, there's nobody in it, other than the folks who are employed to be in it. And they're sitting behind the till, and they're sitting on their tablet, and they're doing bits and pieces. But and the shop looks lovely, it looks great looking in, but there's nobody in it. They ain't doing business. They ain't trading. They're not doing things to attract and to bring people in, invite them in. You know, and every time I go past, I'm thinking at least one of you should be out in the street with some flyers or doing something that's going to tell people and raise awareness and promote what you're doing. And there is a danger that the church, not just not our church, but the church can be like that. Where we spend an awful lot of time, an awful lot of work getting it ready, making it look good as we should. You know, it's one of our key things. We want a warm and welcoming environment because it is welcoming for those that are coming in for the first time. And for those of us that are returning as well. But for those in the street, how do we create opportunities for them to raise awareness, for them to get in and to come in? That invitation that's either a leaflet, a flyer, or it's a personal, verbal, vocal invitation to come in. The challenge. Because the people in the street are our inheritance. We need to claim that, invite and bring them. The cost. Back in June, we changed one of our cars. Well, we changed my car. And Heather got one. I know. Changed my old BMW and she gets a Fiat. Why doesn't that sit right with me? I'm only kidding. But one afternoon we went and we looked in one of the garages that's there. And inside this garage is a powder blue Maserati convertible with a cream, I know, slam dunk, Pastor. You know, with a cream interior. And I glance at the cost, and the price that's on it, £4,000. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't. But my boys would love me. My boys love their cars. I shouldn't, but you know, and I'm saying to Heather, I mean, I'm thinking the insurance would be sky high on it, but I'm thinking, Heather. And she looks like, are you off your head? That's not the first time she said that to me. I said, what? That's a great price. She's like, £40,000. See, I hadn't understood the cost. And as much as I'd be willing to pay the price, I didn't have the resources to pay the price. There is a cost for us to claim our inheritance. There is a cost for us, church, to bring the kingdom of God to the city and beyond. Are you willing to pay that cost? To pay that price? The resources of heaven will enable you and will help you, but are you willing to pay that price? There is a challenge, there is a cost, there is also a commitment. One of the other programs that my boys love, they don't just love cars. They also love anything that's got Bear Grylls in it. You know, that's not like a barbecue for little Ted or anything like that. Bear Grylls, the outward survival expert, outward bound survival expert, who's also a Christian and is the face of Alpha. You know, but these things where he'd go and he'd eat all these obnoxious things out in the bush and in the outback. He'd slide down mountains just so he could escape. And one of the things that Bear Grylls was seen to do in one of these programs was he shimmied across this ravine on a fallen tree that was there. And he's kind of holding on to this log for dear life and kind of pulling himself across. And the poor cameraman that must be following behind him that's saying, I ain't getting no glory for this. And Bear Grylls is talking you through it. And he gets to a point where he's launched out into this. And he says, he turns to the camera and he looks. He's still got a long way to go, but he's left the safety of one side of the ravine. And he says, I am now committed. I'm past the point of no return. I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must now press on. I must now press forward. I need to reach the other side. Are we at the point where we are committed? Are we at the point where there is no turning back? Are we at the point where we're willing to face the challenge of not just having a great time on the inside, but actually beginning to affect those that are on the outside? Are we at the point where we're looking and we're aware of the cost that is involved to see the kingdom of God come? Are we aware of the cost that says to claim my inheritance, this is what it's going to cost me in God? This is the price that's going to be paid. Are we ready, church, to be committed to the things of Jesus? See, to form an authentic community, there is a challenge. That challenge is time. That challenge is commitment. That challenge will be to change personal priorities. If we are to truly and fully see the kingdom of God come, then your life can't stay the same as it is right now. Some of you begin to get offended. I can handle that. Your life can't stay the same right now. We need to rise to the challenge. We need to pay the price. We need to be willing to commit. Now, the benefits of being an authentic community are friendship, support, encouragement, accountability, teaching, and normally in Christian circles, food. It's the presence of God, and it's also prayer. It's being committed to what we're about. So what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about, I suppose, our identity, talking about our influence, talking about the itch, talking about the inheritance that we've got in Jesus. You get little bookmarks that are in front of you, and the benches in front of you that are talking about some of the things that we're wanting to see happen in our church this year. It says in 2015, we're creating an authentic community by serving the Lord and others through small groups and outreach. See, serving becomes a community event. Ministering to Jesus and our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Opportunity to develop practical gifting. To become perhaps and to serve, you know, a first face or a continuing face of the church. And the great news is that we've got lots of opportunities and possibilities for you to get involved so that you can help claim your inheritance that's both internal, external, and eternal. Cleaning and setup team, stewarding team, media team, hospitality team, kids work, youth work, evangelism, prayer, social justice, international missions, just to begin to name a few. We've got a table that's set up in the outside there that's got some descriptions of some of the jobs and the roles and the opportunities and possibilities that we see, that we would like to see filled in this church. That is from behind the scenes, that is to doing things that will be up front. That we would be able to buy in to what God wants to do in our life. We're going to be committed to some small groups. We're going to be committed to equipping and to outreach. We've got some things that are planned and that are in the diary that we'll be aware of quite soon. We've got a weekend with Pastor Simon Foster, one of Elam's national leaders, in Pursuing the Presence on the 6th to 8th of March. We've got Stuart Weir, Director of Care Scotland. We've got Paul Hudson, Elam's International Missions Director. And we've got Pastor Kevin Peat, part of Elam's National Leadership Team and our regional leader here in Scotland, going to be with us on Sundays. We are launching a once-a-month Sunday evening outreach called Renew, which, church, we're really looking for you guys to buy into. And I have to say, if I'm being honest, not just acting as your pastor, but as your leader, Sunday nights, we haven't had the buy-in that we wanted and that we were expecting into our service. I have pastors that I speak to in Elam who are on our website and who say, you've got a crack in Sunday night. And when I tell them how little number of people were coming out to it, they couldn't believe it. There's something for everything there. But there hasn't been the buy-in. If we're going to see the kingdom of God come, then stuff like Renew needs to be up our priority list and being at it. We get things like Live Before You Die that's going to be launched, which is a Bible teaching series that Jerry's going to look after through video. It's Daniel Kalenda, who is Reinhard Bonnke's successor in Christ for the Nations, looking at what it is to be fully and truly alive in Christ. Details of that are going to be coming in the next couple of weeks. We want to do Alpha Unleashed, where if you want to run Alpha in your neighborhood and your community, we're just not going to say it's got to be only done here in church and with a small team, but we want to be able to equip you and to resource you in the same way that Justin, Xavier, and the guys doing the student and young adult Alpha have been able to do. Take it to your community, take it to your friends, take it to your streets, take it to your work, take it to your place of study. You want to see Alpha unleashed. We want to begin to influence Morningside and doing something that we'll probably title and call Love Morningside, that will be regular outreach, evangelism, witnessing, getting involved with in our community. Through the arts, through the fringe and through the nativity, where people come in and people begin to engage with the church. And people, there's stories where we've done fringe where people have said, we didn't know what went on in that place. But through coming to a fringe show, they begin to understand what the place looks like, who some of the people that make up the church is, and what things are involved in. Nativity as well, where we took the message and the good news of Jesus, and it impacted this community, and actually through the press and things like that, impacted a little bit of the city. And people still talking about that. I was at a meeting at the Eric Liddell Centre on Friday, and people still talking about the nativity. Jealous that we are the church that had the star and the fireworks, right enough. Said, well, there's got to be some perks. But we want to love Morningside. We want to be involved in, you know, the fringe and nativities, opportunities for people. That is the itch zone. That is the potential inheritance zone. Easter, Freshers Week, giving over 200 hot dogs to students, beginning to talk to them, introduce them to church. We want to see some weekly outreach beginning to happen. Table for Six, an opportunity for fellowship and getting to know each other that little bit better. Homes groups, men's groups, women's groups, Bible studies, student groups, youth discipleship groups. Lots of opportunities for us to get together as small groups, to know each other better, to find the Word of God being made rich in our hearts. So what are we asking? What are we going to be talking about next week? Well, we're looking for everybody in church to commit to at least one area of serving. We're looking for everybody in church to commit to being involved in at least one small group. We're looking for everybody in church to begin to commit to being involved in an outreach team or be involved in a regular event that's going on. So go to the table that's out there, have a look. There's some details, a little brochure that's there for if you want to take away. It's got some details about what some of the responsibilities would be and opportunities would be. Sign up if you want to know more. We'll be having some commitment opportunities next Sunday. So this week is a week of prayer. This week is a week of looking at your priorities and looking at how you can get involved, areas of opportunity, perhaps also areas that you would naturally migrate to, and saying, Lord, how do you want me to claim my inheritance in Edinburgh Elam Church? How do you want me to claim my inheritance within the local community here in Morningside? Lord, how do you want to help me to claim my inheritance through my community, which is my street, which is my family, which is my workplace? And another thing, just to kind of suppose to finish off with, is to ask, Lord, and to maybe think about the 5 more minutes principle. You know what the 5 more minutes principle is? You know how when your kids are told, right, it's time for bedtime? 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. Can I just see to the end? Can I just, just a little bit longer? I wonder what our lives would look like if we applied the 5 more minutes principle to our life and to our faith. 5 more minutes in the Word every day. 5 more minutes of personal worship. 5 more minutes of prayer. 5 more minutes of fellowship. 5 more minutes of outreach. Now, it's not about the volume of time. It's about the desire of the heart that's there. But what if we engage in the 5 more minutes principle? Our lives would be better. Our inheritance would be clearer and would be more stronger. We'd be received in our life, I am sure of it. We would be changed internally, externally, and eternally. We're going to be talking more about this next week and about what that means in a real practical sense for us as church. I wonder, would you stand and would you pray with me, please? And then we'll sing one more song as we finish and conclude.